This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have an update from Jamie Dickerman as well. Temps are in negative territory across most of the upper Midwest and northern plains this morning. Dry Fork, North Dakota is the coldest spot in the region at this hour with a minus 20 degree air temperature. Dry Fork is some 40 miles east of Williston. We'll be on a roller coaster ride with the temps this week, starting off with extreme cold and dangerous wind chills. Milder weather is on the way by midweek with temps in the 40s, some even seeing low 40s, and it'll cool off again then next weekend.
The January supply-demand report delivered friendly news for the corn and soybean markets. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson is excited with the numbers.
Boy, for those corn numbers, a lot better than expected. I mean, you know, we did see harvested acres increase, but the yield dropped by over 3 bushels an acre, a lot more than anticipated by the trade. Cut production, putting our stocks at 1.5 billion, which is, you know, you start looking at that number, you start looking at a much higher number for where the price should be at because of stocks are tight, and we're not going to be looking at, you know, at this point, we're looking at possibly more acres, but, you know, we're going to continue to see very tight stocks. And then you're looking for soybeans, which nobody anticipated that we would see not only a cut in yield, but a cut in harvested acres, which cut production more than anticipated.
And that brings the stocks to use ratio for corn close to 10%.
There's no other supplies available right now for corn, you know, because, you know, South America is just, you know, Argentina's planting. Brazil hasn't planted their crop yet. If we get some sort of an issue with the soybean harvest in Brazil and a little later safrinha crop, that is going to put that much more emphasis on the corn market. And we still continue to have very strong demand on the export side and the domestic side. So, yeah, it's going to keep these stocks fairly tight, and it's going to keep a little bit of a premium or at least support into that corn market and keep it from dropping too far.
According to USDA, the Minnesota corn crop averaged 174 bushels per acre. South Dakota, record high at 164 bushels per acre, and North Dakota farmers yielded 149 bushels per acre for corn. Soybean yields averaged 45 bushels per acre for Minnesota, 43 for South Dakota, 37.5 bushels per acre in North Dakota.
The Treasury Department has released its long-awaited preliminary guidance for its new 45Z clean fuel production credit. This punts the final decision into the incoming Trump administration. In the words of Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, the announcement left farmers with more questions than answers. It restricts imports of used cooking oil, but it does not clarify the farming practices required to qualify for the tax credit. Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper said this guidance fails to provide enough information to stimulate investment in the biofuels industry.
North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney is in Washington, D.C. this week, hoping to promote a sense of urgency about the farm bill.
We've had a really good relationship with Senator Hovind and Senator Bozeman, who will be the ranking member. Been in his office many times with Senator Hovind. We think there's some possibilities of getting something done before the end of September. And I think if, you know, really the argument is going to come down to conservation, food stamps or SNAP and the, our portions in the farm bill. And then it'll be budget. I mean, do they have the money? So sadly, somebody's not going to be as happy coming out of it, but I think we'll get a bill.
Watney said farmers and ag lenders want certainty with a new farm bill.
The good news is we've got the extension. So we got the old bill is here, so you can use that as a reference, but that's a little weak when we have collapsed prices, so we really need something. Another good news is we did get some economic assistance, and there's you can find the numbers. It's 20, 30 bucks an acre based on your crop, and again, that'll help some, but boy, yeah, we don't want to rely on that ad hoc disaster. I mean, we've been okay, and I've worked a lot of hours helping get that done, but that's something that's really hard every single time we have to do it.
Watney was part of the Tri-State Young Producer Conference in Fargo this past weekend.
A document reportedly put together by the House Budget Committee outlines the spending reduction needed to pay for $5.7 trillion in tax cuts. The proposal was released by Politico. This list includes cuts in conservation programs, food stamps, and rural energy programs. House Agriculture Committee ranking member Angie Craig criticized the move, saying it would take money away from farmers to pay for tax breaks for the already super rich.
U.S. tractor and combine sales took another drop at the end of the year. According to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, tractor sales were down more than 11% from December of 23, combine sales down 26%. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Belgium-based Agristo plans to build its first U.S. potato processing facility in Grand Forks. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven called it a game changer for the region.
It's a big deal for dryland potato acreage. I mean, you're talking 15,000 acres of dryland potatoes, as you know, in simple lots using irrigated acres now. So this just makes that potato production possible for a lot more producers to expand their operations. The producers up there, by the way, have been phenomenal. They've been doing trials for the company, and they're a big reason that we're headed towards getting this deal put in place.
Hoeven said a phone call to Katie Farmer, who is the CEO of Burlington Northern Santa Fe, was instrumental in the process of getting this deal done.
Said, hey, this is 900 million pounds of potatoes a year. Now, you start working with us and working with this company, let's figure out how to do it, because that's really good for you guys. You're not going to get it if they end up in Racine, Wisconsin, because then they'll do some trucking and export out of Chicago. But this is a big deal, and you need to come to the table. And that's the transportation was a huge factor in this deal. So, you know, that we did a lot of work with the railroad. That's very important. It's just all those factors. But it always comes back to, Jamie, guess what? Our great farmers. Nobody grows spuds better than we do.
Negotiations for the plant's construction are underway with a goal to finalize the agreement by mid-year.
Land values for the Dakotas and western Minnesota are holding steady. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman has the story.
The land values continue to hold steady despite the reduction in commodity prices and higher than normal interest rates. Farmers National Vice President for the Northern Area, Terry Longton, says the land market is staying strong.
A little less land on the market than we've seen in 22 and 23. And there's actually less bidders, but there's still enough buyers to keep the land market strong.
Longton says there are a few things that continue to drive the market.
Farmers are always optimistic that's going to turn around. Next year will be better. That's driving it. We've had some really profitable years the last few years. That's driving it. And I would say this, I hear this comment from farmers. They'd just as soon not buy a parcel of land maybe today. But if the one across the road comes up for sale, they know that they aren't going to get to buy it 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. Today's the day.
Farmers National has experienced an active fall selling season, marketing $223 million worth of land value for clients across the Midwest the past 3 months. They've conducted 123 sales through public auction. Real estate activity moving into the first quarter remains brisk, with above average level of auctions and traditional listings being negotiated. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
The Farmers Union organizations in North Dakota, South Dakota, and Oklahoma hosting its annual Tri-State Young Producer Conference in Fargo this past Friday and Saturday. Oklahoma Farmers Union President Scott Blubaugh.
This is the third year for the event that we've put together, but it's really for our young farmers kind of between 25 and 40 years of age that we encourage to get involved in the organization. They network together and they find out how much in common they have, even from far south as Oklahoma, and how much similar our farming operations really are, even here in the Dakotas and as far south as Oklahoma. The challenges that we all face on family farms are very similar.
Blubaugh said young farmers struggle to deal with low prices and high input costs.
So these young farmers have very difficult time because they don't have a lot of equity built up yet in their many times in their operations, and they're our future, and there's not very many of them left, and we can't afford to lose one of them, not even one of them now. And it's so critical for the national security of the nation that we keep these young farmers and ranchers in business and able to produce our food and fiber of the country. Because if we don't, we're going to regret it here pretty shortly.
With a new Congress in place, lawmakers will have another chance to pass a farm bill. National Farmers Union Vice President Jeff Kipley, who farms near Aberdeen, is anxious to see some action.
Yeah, you know, we are very disappointed that we haven't had one done here in the last 2 years. Two 1-year extensions is not what farmers need, and especially as we see the commodity prices drop here this last year. We need to get one done now. We wasted our time long enough. We need to really get something finished.
Kepley was part of the Tri-State Young Producers Conference in Fargo this past weekend. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Bayer Crop Science unveiling a new potato program at Potato Expo. Bayer Crop Science Senior Technical Sales Rep John Martin said Bayer's 75-day program focuses on integrated potato management pre-plant through harvest.
We start out, we want to get a good foundation in the beginning. So we start out with our Amesto Silver seed treatment, put an Admire Pro down the pipe, and then also we have got a new product called Vellum Rise. It's typically used as a nematicide, but we've also added, so it's two actives in there. It's Penflufen and it's Fluopyram. And it's got beyond the nematicidal properties, it's really good on early season for black dot. It helps out on it's the Rise for Rizoc. So if anyone's thinking about Rizoctonia, it would replace their Rizoctonia program that they'd have in place today.
And early season protection from black dot is the next priority.
Bring in a new product this year called Delaro, and we're going to put that early on in the season, so typically around that 6 to 10 inch rosette size, and then we're going to be at that stage, we're going to be looking at a 6 ounce rate. And when we're thinking Delaro, that's our main target pest would be for black dot.
Effective February 7th, Langdon Research Extension Center research agronomist Brian Hansen will retire. Hansen has been on the job for more than 40 years.
I went through the scab times, went through canola coming in, so us, and of course Langdon's kind of hard at canola country, and soybeans came into our region, so there's a lot of work on that. And then I had the opportunity to be the first one stationed to test hemp in 2015, so we worked on that about 5 or 6 years. So you always got to have something new to keep the interest up, and but we always worked on varieties and tried to help farmers that way too. So yeah, it's been a good career. Little did I know when I started I'd be here 40 years later, but yeah, it's been good. I like the region. So
USDA adding 15 more states, including Minnesota, to its national milk testing strategy for avian influenza. 28 states now being tested, representing 65% of the U.S. milk production. South Dakota, North Dakota dairy farms are not included in the testing protocol yet.
Higher prices this morning, still some hangover from Friday's reports. Minneapolis wheat March 4.5 better at 588.75. Chicago wheat March 7.5 higher. Hard red winter wheat March 5.75 higher. March corn, a gain of 4.25, 474.75. New crop corn, 2.5 higher. And soybeans, March at 1034, gain of 8.75. And new crop soybeans up by a nickel. On the farm calendar, the NDSU Crop Insurance Conference going on today at the Holiday Inn in Fargo starts at 8 o'clock this morning, continuing through 4:30 this afternoon. Speakers include Chad Hart from Iowa State University with a market update, Dr. Joe Outlaw, the economist from Texas A&M with an update on crop insurance and the farm bill. That's on the agenda as we look this week as well. And going on in D.C., National Association of Wheat Growers and U.S. Wheat Associates, they've got their annual winter conference going on. Have yourself a great Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.